Episode 38, Your Sister-in-Law. Welcome to the First Year Married Podcast, where we get real about building the marriage of your dreams. I'm marriage coach Kayla Levin, and I take newly married and engaged women from anxious and insecure to confident and connected through practical tips, real life inspiration, and more than a little self-awareness along the way. Hello again, ladies. Thanks so much for coming back in. I'm so excited to not be always recording these at the last minute. Ever since we moved, we have been, I guess, just taking it day by day. And this week, the kids start school. We have our normal schedule and routine returning. It is very exciting. I'm going to be trying out batch recording episodes, which is when you sit down and do like 3 or 4 episodes in one go. Hopefully I'll have a voice for all 3 or 4. I'm definitely looking forward to giving it a try and seeing how it goes. So one of the places that I love coaching people is with charged relationships. And when I say charged relationships, what I mean is it's not just necessarily like a not great relationship. It's one of those relationships where you walk away and you're like, your skin is crawling, or you feel like your blood pressure has gone up, or you're just so irritated and you keep replaying the conversation in your head and you like have to talk to someone about it because you just can't get over it. You can't get past it. And usually what our friends do is they help us by being like, oh my gosh, what a jerk. I can't believe they did that. That's so awful. And it does make us feel a little better, but it's limited because the next time you go back into the relationship, it's kind of the exact same thing all over again, right? Like you didn't actually fix the problem. You just sort of put a Band-Aid on it. So part of the reason that I like working in this is that it's definitely an area where I've done my own work. I have seen the importance of being really, really crystal clear on thought work. So I know how important it is to do this work. But I also think that this is an area that I like to work in because this is one where you really start to see your own thought processes. And I don't know if this will come through as much in a podcast as it would with a one-on-one coaching session or a group coaching session where, you know, I have that give and take and people can tell me like, oh, actually that is what I was thinking. But when we start to really examine our thoughts, that it's kind of surprising and often very funny to realize like, oh, I actually was thinking that that was going on and that doesn't make any sense now that I look at it logically. And okay, now I can move forward. So several of you wrote in asking me to discuss sibling relationships specifically over the last couple weeks. When I put out a request for specific scenarios, I'm just going to give you a heads up. They were almost exclusively about sisters-in-law. Just know that going in, but we're going to have tools that can apply to any sibling relationship and frankly, any relationship. Okay, so I'm just going to take some of the questions that came in this week and we're going to use those as a jumping off point for how to use this work with charged relationships, specifically if it's your siblings-in-law. I have a question about my sister-in-law. I desperately want to become friends with her, but every time we do something, she's constantly on her phone or gossiping about people from her hometown that I have no clue who they are. How can I become friends with someone who doesn't take the time to talk? So for this one, I want to give you one tool, and that is that there are two parts of any relationship. There's how they feel about you, and there's how you feel about them. We tend to think that a friendship starts when they decide they like us, when they decide to invest time and energy and attention in us. But the truth is, it's really the opposite. Because there's only one of these two that's even in your control. And even more so, we never even know how someone feels about us. We're always making it up. And yes, we might be making it up from evidence, and some of us might be better at making accurate guesses than others, but ultimately you will never be inside that person's brain. You will never know all the nuances. How they feel about you is a function of the way that they are thinking. It's not even a function of how you're acting. And so that's all in their lane. What's in your lane is how you feel about them and how you show up in the relationship. So I have a few thoughts that I often use in situations like this, and I just want to share them with you. The first one is, I get to feel however I want about you. sometimes we feel like our emotions have to be earned. Like if somebody hurt our feelings or betrayed us, that we have to feel broken about them and we have to feel sad and distant. But the truth is, you could really decide what emotion will help me the most. What emotion has me showing up the way that I want to show up in this relationship? What emotion helps me get what I need from this relationship or to get away from this relationship? You can choose to feel that emotion. There aren't rules. There's no one coming around and saying, that person's not nice enough to you for you to admire them, or that person's, you guys aren't close enough for you to feel love. There's no police. There's no thought police. There's no feeling police. You get to choose what you want. And so just reminding myself, I get to feel however I want about you, means that if a person's being really annoying, I could find that adorable. Why not? Right? Like, that's easier than being frustrated and wasting a lot of energy, right? So just thinking about that and then just kind of having some play with it of what feelings could I have about this when I'm not so attached to the feelings that I feel like I ought to be feeling in response. If I'm a very upstanding, responsible person, then when someone's irresponsible, then I need to be upset about it. Well, maybe that's not true. Maybe you would be upset if you weren't being responsible, but if they're not being responsible, what is the helpful thing for you to be feeling? It might be helpful for you to be upset, but it might not be. Maybe you want to be able to encourage them to do better, and so what you need is to feel inspired by them or inspired about them or creative or loving or compassionate. Maybe that's more useful. The second thought is, I'm going to learn something very important from you. Now, I will make a confession. This is the thought that I use when I have a really hard time with the first one. So if I'm having a hard time switching to a more positive emotion, having more positive thoughts, this is the one that I went to and I found it very helpful. And one, it's one that I really believe to be true. And that's probably why I could believe it so easily. I'm going to learn something very important from you. I believe that we learn something from everyone that we interact with. We learn something from the people who are obviously mentors and leaders and coaches, who are more mature or more spiritual or more experienced than us. But we also grow by going up against someone who has a weakness that affects us, because we learn so much about ourselves. How do I deal with someone who ignores me? How do I deal with someone who's rude? How do I deal? Who do I become? And what's going on there? Where's that trigger? What just got set off? Why is that an issue for me? Is it my ego? Is it my ability to let things slide? Is it my need for things to happen quickly? What is that? I'm going to learn something very important from you, even if this isn't a pleasant relationship. Now I don't need to change it. I don't need to deny it, and I don't need to be upset about it. Okay, I'm not getting the attention that I want. This is teaching me about how I deal with not getting the attention that I want. It's very important information. The third and final thought that I use in situations like this that I find to be so helpful is I just think to myself, I'm good. And somehow this is the magic button that will remind me that I am the one who's in control of how I feel. She's on her phone, she's ignoring me, and I think I'm good. And all of a sudden it reminds me, I've got my own back. I'm not waiting for her to come and make me happy. I'm not waiting for her to make me feel connected. And often it will remind me or help me realize that there's something that I could just get up and do right now that would be so much more fulfilling than what I'm doing at the moment. So when I think I'm good, then I might get up and be like, you know, I'm just going to open up a magazine. She's on her phone, I'm going to get a magazine. And I'm not going to be totally disconnected, right? It's a lot easier to interrupt someone or to feel connected to somebody who's reading a book in the room with you, usually, than someone who's on a screen. Or maybe I'll start up a conversation with a different person in the room who's not using their phone. Or maybe I'll get up and go for a walk. It's not the kind of thing like I'm going to go get up and get myself some chocolate, or I'm going to go scroll mindlessly on my phone, because that is in response to negative emotion that I'm trying to get rid of. This is, look, I'm good. I've got my back. She might not be doing what I want right now, but I am taking care of myself. What do I need in this moment? I would just have this person who wrote the question consider that she started off with, I desperately want to become friends with her. And so I would consider rephrasing that. I'm not denying the truth of the statement, but I think by telling herself that line, I desperately want to become friends with her, it's coming from a place of sort of like a weakness, and she's got all the power, and it's like really important and urgent. And I think if she can come up with like a, I am, you know, just a different phrase for it. I'm working on my friendship with her. I'm working on connecting with her, or even just I'm learning who she is. I'm learning to appreciate her. I'm learning what makes her tick. Anything like that, it puts her in a place of that is what she can control. She can learn about her. She doesn't need her to be off her phone to learn something. And so it's just, we want to notice the way that we're telling the story to ourselves. And even things that sound like very noble or positive, like how beautiful is it that this woman wants to become friends with her sister-in-law, but really the language is actually possibly disabling her from being able to approach this relationship in the way she really wants to. Okay, let's go on to the next question. How do I deal with a jealous sister-in-law who wants to make every moment about her? She wanted to know when I was pregnant, when I gave birth, and the gender of the baby. I'm assuming in this question that she means during the pregnancy. And she got jealous of my relationship with my mother-in-law. I don't have involved parents. Okay, so what I want to do with this one is I want to break down what's happening and how we're interpreting what's happening. Because the truth is our interpretations drive our emotional reaction. So we have to have really high standards about what we're going to allow as fact when we're telling the story of what's going on. We have to be really, really careful that we're not adding any of our own interpretation at all and only sharing, not sharing with me, obviously, when you're telling me the story, it's perfectly fine to be doing this. But what I'm trying to do is pull out, like with a fine-tooth comb, what was actually happening away from what did I make it mean or what did she make it mean, okay? So what technically happened? Now, I'm just going to pick one of them. I might not have it exactly right. It should be fine anyway. Let's say she asked if you were pregnant or she asked you to tell her when you were pregnant, okay? So the thought is this is so inappropriate. She needs every moment to be all about her, right? Which I could see why someone would feel that way. Like, this is something private between us right now. We're not telling. Why are you the person that needs to know about it, right? So I totally get where she's getting that thought. Doesn't make it any more true. So then how do we feel when we feel that way about someone? We feel resentful, annoyed, maybe disgusted, maybe even sad, like that I don't have someone who's more supportive or more of what I need, okay? Whatever. It doesn't matter. You would fill in how this made you feel. So how are you going to act? Now, it's going to be different based on the feeling, but let's say if we're going with annoyance and disgust. So you're not going to tell her, first of all, but you might also be trying to convey with your tone or your body language that you're offended, that this whole conversation is completely inappropriate. So what's going to be the result of that? There's going to be less closeness. There's no pairing of the relationship, right? Because what you're showing at this point is this is really inappropriate and we're distancing, right? It's like a disconnection from her. So now what's happening is you're not pairing. There isn't a you and her. So you know what? It really is going to continue to be all about her because it's her by herself. I think this person had written in a different one that she saw insecurity with this sister-in-law. It would really be like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, I think she's so insecure. So I'm annoyed by how she's acting. And so I'm going to behave in a way that is actually going to increase her insecurity, right? Even if it's insecurity only in relationship to me. Maybe she's not insecure in other places, but in the way that this relationship is going because of the thoughts and the way that I'm seeing what's happening. So now I'm just going to sort of be like reinforcing that situation. Okay, so we're going to just try and flip it to something else. Doesn't really even matter so much what we flip it to. More that we flip it to, we just change the interpretation. We're going to change the way that we're looking at it. We're going to do the exact same scenario. She asked if you were pregnant or asked you to tell her when you were. If, again, with a client, I would never let you do two like this. I'm totally cheating and breaking all the rules. But okay, we can handle it. You guys are advanced now. This is like we're almost at 40. Those of you who have been sticking with me this whole time, wow, it's amazing. Okay, so the thought you're having that I'm going to offer you is some people are very curious. Okay, so how's that going to make you feel in contrast? Now, it's going to make you feel different than it would make me feel, so I'm just going to give some suggestions. Interested, observant, very cool and calm, like you're more of a researcher in this situation. So what action would you take from that place? Now, you're not feeling like your boundaries are being crossed. You're not feeling like you need to convey that this is inappropriate and wrong. You're just curious. Oh, some people are very curious. So you might tell her something like, I know it can be so hard not to know. Sometimes I wish I could just tell everyone, but we've decided to keep it private for now. Can't wait for you to find out. Okay, so what's the result here? Now I see her in a new light and I'm getting to know her better. I'm noticing some people are very curious. That's making me curious. Curious is a much more empowered place to be than annoyed or frustrated or resentful. All right, we're going to continue on to one more. I had my son 9 months ago and my sister-in-law got married 6 weeks before us. Lots of tension. I had a great pregnancy and she's now pregnant and I'm extremely happy for them. But at the same time, I all of a sudden feel a shift in my mother-in-law since hearing the news. I understand it is her daughter and she's pregnant with her second grandchild, but she's seemingly colder towards me. It may be my own insecurities, but what if somehow it could be my sister-in-law stirring it up? She's very insecure with my husband and mother-in-law's relationship. Okay, so in this scenario, what we tend to do when we're feeling nervous is instead of feeling nervous, right, because that's very uncomfortable, and a lot of us don't really know how to just have an uncomfortable feeling. And I'm just going to go on a little bit of a rant. Part of that is the way we talk to children. If you'll notice that a lot of the time when a child is sad, we try to tell them, don't be sad, right? Let's fix it. Let's do something else. Have a lollipop, right? Let's go play. Oh, but did you know there's this treat? Now, I'm not saying that distraction isn't good sometimes, and sometimes it's basic survival instinct to distract a child. However, when we are constantly sending children the impression that them having a negative emotion and acting appropriately, right? They're sad, so they're crying. They're angry, so they're stomping their feet and rolling around all over the floor. They're acting appropriately for their negative emotion. And what we do is we try and change the emotion. In my opinion, this is sending a message that that emotion isn't safe. It's advisable to get away from the emotion as quickly as possible, right? And obviously, if we're sending lollipops every time a kid is crying, then when they're an adult, then they're one of the adults, which is all of the adults, who's racing for the refrigerator or the freezer or the pantry when they're having an uncomfortable emotion, yeah? So, okay, that's just my little spiel, and now I'm going to get back to regularly scheduled programming. This is not a parenting podcast. But we don't know how to feel negative emotion, right? Because that's not how for most of us, that's not what was in the lexicon. It was not part of the conversation growing up. So if you're feeling nervous about all these family dynamics that you're talking about, you're not sure if maybe your sister-in-law is going and trying to create tension between you and your mother-in-law. How does she feel about your pregnancy? And how do you feel about her pregnancy? And how does the mother-in-law feel about both of these? And is your child on the same status as her child? And also the sister-in-law and the brother-in-law? Okay, this is like a whole situation, yeah? So instead of just feeling nervous, what we try and do is we want to go and investigate and fix it, right? So like what I'm seeing in the question is this attempt at like, can you tell me, let's get to the bottom of this. If we could get to the bottom of this, we could just make all this nervous go away. Yeah. But what if we were to say that in your in-law relationships, you're going to feel nervous. Like let's say you're going to feel nervous most of the time or a good chunk of the time. And I could even give you like logical reasons, right, that would make you feel more comfortable. What if I were to say, hey, you've never had such a close relationship with someone that you didn't either grow up with or choose to be in a close relationship with. This is a whole new terrain that you're navigating. It's a whole new family culture, a whole new family dynamics. Very normal to feel nervous, to feel anxious, to feel uncomfortable. Yeah, a lot of these emotions when we're dealing with our in-laws. And that might, for some of us, be something that we deal with. And even in the best relationships, by the way, even the most loving, wonderful, sympathetic, careful in-laws are different than what you're used to. So there's going to be an adjustment period. And for some of you, it's going to be a couple years. And for some of you, it's going to be a couple decades. It just is an adjustment period and you're figuring it out. And what if instead of trying to get to the bottom of it and make all these negative emotions go away, we were just like, okay, here, this is me showing up for nervous. Yeah. And I'm going to let all the nervous happen. I'm going to notice the nervous. I'm not going to try and get rid of it by distracting myself or fixing the problem. All that urgency, right? Whenever we're feeling urgency, it's because we're not allowing a negative emotion. So we want to be really careful to let that red flag go up when we have that urgency going on. So what I would say to this person is notice what your brain is doing, first of all. What your brain is doing is trying to change the situation because you're uncomfortable. But you're not uncomfortable because of what's happening. You're uncomfortable because of the thoughts you're having about it. Okay? I'm going to leave it to you to pick through this about what you are thinking and what is definite, absolute fact. But where I would go with this person is to say, you want to consider how you want to be showing up in this relationship. How do you want to show up in this relationship? Ultimately, you're probably not going to find out all of those different pieces, right? But if you know that you want to show up as the loving, fun, I don't know, pick whatever it is, right? Are you the director of fun whenever you get together with your extended family and you're always going to bring an awesome board game? Are you the sympathetic ear that anyone who's having a hard time is going to find you and you guys are going to sit next to each other and you're going to have long, meaningful DMCs? Great. Whatever it is, yeah? Who is it that you want to be? And then how do you need to think about your family? I wouldn't even go so specific as how do you want to think about the situation. I would go meta. How do you think about your family? This is a family that needs that sympathetic ear and I'm playing that role. Yeah. Or this is a family where I can really contribute because I'm going to bring the fun. It doesn't need to be that the family needs it. It could be that, you know, and here's the icing on the cake or however you want to phrase it. This is who you're going to be in this scenario, in this family, or the most powerful place that I can be here is to be my wise and calm self. Or I prefer to be around my family when I'm feeling loving and relaxed, right? How do you want to approach this whole family dynamic? And what's going to happen is that when you have that thought and you really practice that thought and you write it with a dry erase marker on your mirror. And for sure, when you're going to see them, you are saying it to yourself over and over and just practicing the thought and just letting it go through your brain. And that when you're there, you remind yourself every so often. So what's going to happen is you're going to show up differently. And as you show up differently, you're going to see the dynamics shift. And what I tend to see is that when you show up in your integrity of this is who I believe in being right now, I am making an intellectual choice to show up in this capacity. So then when you get there, if you're able to follow through on that, other people are going to sort of like rise to the occasion. It's a really cool thing to see because what happened, you didn't come in reactive. You didn't come in and then react to how everyone is behaving. You came in with a plan. You came in with a vision for yourself. That's coming from the prefrontal cortex, right? That's coming from the most sophisticated part of your brain. So then when you get in there and all of a sudden something goes weird to you, right? It's probably not even wrong. It's probably just weird because it's his family culture, which is different than your family culture. And your brain is like, I'm pretty sure we're all about to die, or I think I need to kill her, or whatever your brain is shooting off. Right? Obviously, you're not actually thinking these things, but it's like you're getting that same trigger that you would be getting if something was actually dangerous. And then you're having, whether it's the anxiety or the adrenaline or the frustration or the anger or whatever is going on. And then you're like, whoa, no, I have a vision. And you can go back to that prefrontal cortex because you were practicing it, because you articulated it for yourself. You have it. It's a line. It's all around your, you know, on your mirror. You saw it, you said it, you heard it, whatever you need to do. So now it's easier to go back to it rather than here I am, I'm in a situation with my family. I had no vision going in. All of a sudden, everything's gone haywire. Let me now think about who I want to be in the situation. It's ridiculous. There's no way to do it. Really hard, unless you want to leave for a little while. Calm yourself down, and then you can access that part of your brain. But when your brain thinks that things are going terribly wrong, it's going to want to react from a very animalistic, right? A base place. And so that's why you want to have that sort of practiced vision when you're going in. And that ultimately is something that we can apply to any of these relationships. For any of these relationships, their main focus needs to be, how do I want to show up in this relationship? Who do I want to be? What role am I playing here? And that can shift and that can change, and that's fine. But then we're giving ourselves a vision, and then we can move forward with it. And then if we're really clear that every time that we get into that reactive state, right, that we notice, first of all, that the only reason that there's any urgency right now is because I'm not okay with feeling this negative emotion. But you know what? The negative emotion won't kill me. So maybe right now I'm just going to feel really insecure, or I'm going to feel really angry, right? And I'm not going to try and make it go away. It's just going to sit there in my stomach or in my throat or on my shoulders or wherever it sits. It's just going to sit and I'm going to notice it. When we allow that, then no matter what's going on, we don't have to ditch the vision because we're not reactive. After the fact, because people are often asking me, like, how am I supposed to use this information? So in the moment, what we're doing is we're allowing the emotion. After the fact, we're then going to go back and be like, wow, when she asked me what gender the baby was, even though I had said we weren't telling anybody, I got really upset. Let me articulate, how was I feeling? What did I think? I usually go backwards on those two, but if you want to first say, what did I think about that? What do I think about her asking that question when she knew we weren't telling anyone? Did I think it was totally inappropriate? Did I think it was totally selfish? Did I think it was undermining my importance, right? Did I feel it was undermining my importance in some way? Articulate that thought, articulate the feelings you were having, and then you're going to understand why you took that action. Why did it make you do whatever the thing is you did? Or if you were able to sit with the feeling, then you'll just understand, why did you have that feeling? Because someone asking you the gender of your baby is totally neutral. You can think whatever you want about that. You could be charmed by that. You could think that's the sweetest thing in the world. You really could, right? And you could have the most positive emotions. So that is a neutral scenario. And then you get to sort of do the thought work, figure out how you're going to interpret it. So again, just quick review. Have the vision. Allow the emotions. And then after the fact, you want to do R&D. What really happened there? Why did it happen? What was I thinking? And it's a cycle. It's a continuous cycle. And we'll just keep going back in. And I really want to encourage you that it might feel like nobody else is doing this work. So that's when you need to go back and listen to the episode called Your Invisible Cape. I really want everyone to listen to that one. It's episode 5. And I'm talking in that one all about how to hold ourselves to a higher standard without feeling like a martyr. It's the most important thing. And so what I want you to do is I want you to go in, after you've listened to that episode, you're going to go into your in-law relationships, you're going to go into spending time with your siblings-in-law, and you're going to have this vision for yourself, and you're going to have this high standard for yourself, and you're going to be so inspired by seeing how other people are going to rise to the occasion. Other people are going to respond differently to you. Because when you shift, everything is going to shift. It doesn't mean that magically everything's going to clear up, that magically the person who was insulting is going to stop insulting, but it will shift the dynamic. And when we start to live from a place of real intellectual integrity, which is ultimately what this is, it's saying, I know that my emotions are my responsibility. I know that it's coming from what I'm thinking. I have to be crystal clear on what I'm allowing for my thoughts. I need to own it. If I'm having a negative emotion, I need to own what's going on here. Those are your steps. Again, episode 5, Your Invisible Cape. All of you who have joined this community by either signing up for the email list on firstyearmarried.com or following on Instagram at firstyearmarried, it is such an honor to be talking to you. I cannot tell you how enchanted I am with women who are newly married. The energy that you have, the enthusiasm that you have, the openness to learning and growing and wanting to do your best and wanting to make a great connection. It is such an exciting and unbelievable time in life, and it is such an honor for me to be walking with you through it, experiencing it with you and hearing your questions and supporting you. And thank you all for just being part of this community and supporting each other and supporting this work. And I look forward to speaking to you again on this podcast again next week. Take care. Bye-bye.